I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now. Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. This is Rick Gaiman, and I've got Kyle Porter on the line. Kyle, Ernie Els just dropped his President Cup picks, and we need to talk about him. How are you?
I'm good. I don't know that there was a ton of surprise there, but it is interesting kind of how Ernie rounded out the team and kind of what just this international team has going into Australia here in about a month.
Yeah, it is really interesting. So, you know, right off the presses here, Ernie, and we can go through these guys one by one here in a second, but just to recap who they are, he goes with Joaquin Neiman, Sungjae Im, Adam Hadwin, and then Jason Day, who was kind of the lock of the century. So let's start there. We'll start with Jason Day, Kyle. I mean, no surprises here. You and I have talked kind of at length about what this season and what this year is going to mean for Jason Day. I think he's going to be a pretty key cog to this team because I think he can, when right, really carry a team like this. We've seen him excel in match play at times during his career, winning the match play event. But I think this can also go horribly wrong. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, I don't. What are the options, right? Like, I don't know. You start looking at this and you're like, okay, I've got this guy who's probably a Hall of Famer. He's got a major. It's in Australia. Like, are you going to go, Jazz, Jan, and Annan, one and on over, over? I think I actually said that.
That was a that was a great pronunciation. We'll just like pause because that was awesome. You nailed it.
Are you going to go Jazzy J or are you going to go? I mean, it's just. It's a hard spot for Ernie Els. Like, it's easy for you and I to, you know, sit behind a keyboard or sit behind a microphone and be like, oh, yeah, I'd get Siwoo. Which, by the way, I loved your Siwoo take from earlier this week. That to me is like, I mean, he's so volatile. Like, he could go out and win any major, and then you like he's like a more extreme version of Martin Keimer, which is crazy to think about. So it's just tough because, like, as a captain, it's just so much easier and more, you know, I think respected among the kind of the crowd that you're around to go Jason Day than to kind of dig deep into this bag of players who may or may not work out.
Yeah, I think legacy-wise, Ernie really kind of solidified himself by taking Jason Day as the safe pick. I think if you open up that bag and go get someone like Siwoo, who could make you look like the worst captain in quite some time, that would be really bad. So I think it was a safe play by Ernie. But yeah, I could have seen even. I think you're right. There he had a few options. I think you know, a Corey Connors or a Ben Ahn, who I guess are kind of similar type players from tee to green, but might struggle more on the actual putting surface could have been options here. But we knew Jason Day was going to be here. Doesn't have a great President's Cup record by any stretch of the imagination. He's 5-11-4. But what I want to ask you about, Kyle, is a little bit about strategy. And we're, you know, 5 or 6 weeks away from this, but
You know, who do you pair Jason Day with? I mean, I don't know what his really great skill set is. We've seen him play with Mark Leishman. We've seen him play with Mark Leishman the last time. We've seen him play with Louis Oosthuizen. I just don't really know what to do with this guy at the moment.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think because you've got six rookies on this team, I think you just, you know, and those guys, I know we kind of, we look at this thing and it's like, oh, well, it's just a President's Cup, right? Versus like the Ryder Cup. But to them, like to a Joaquin Niemann or like a Hao Tong Li, a CT Pan, like it's a big deal. And yeah, you're going to be like, I mean, especially somebody like Cam Smith, Australian, first time there in a President's Cup, like it's an important thing to, I mean, say what you want about Day, but like, he can be somebody who those guys can kind of lean on. And I think he probably, like, in a strange way, like, loves that role of, like, being, like, the, I don't know about hero, but just, like, the rock or whatever. And so I think we'll see. I don't know. Maybe it's him and Cam Smith. I think it'll be less about skill set than it'll be about, like, kind of the emotional or kind of intellectual pairing of what it would look like for him with a rookie.
You know, that's probably the key. You know, behind our spreadsheets, it's easy to be like, Jason Day's a terrible pick, but you get him in, you get him in the locker room, and get that presence there, and a guy who has played plenty of match play. He has played in plenty of, you know, President's Cups. Like that does, there is obviously an intangible that our algorithms cannot account for, Kyle. So Jason Day, I think we've kind of covered him. The other one that, you know, we could spend all day on this, the one that we had talked about earlier in the week, earlier in the week, as far as the guy who should be on the team is Sungjae Im, who I think you can play him almost every session because we know Sungjae loves playing golf, right? You might see him every single session out here.
I think they had to pull him off the course to tell him that he was actually he the new Vijay?
They'll alert Sungjae when the sun goes down, and when he makes his way into the clubhouse, someone will give him a shout and say, "Hey, you made the President's Cup team."
He has to be the. So I was doing the Race to Dubai stuff the other day, and I was like, "Wow, burned Weisberger's number one Race to Dubai. This is, does anybody realize this?" And I think in the same way, like Sungjae is the guy that, if you go to, so my dad is a pretty casual golf fan. If you're like, hey, who's the number 34 guy in the world? He would never guess. Like he probably wouldn't even know to guess Sungjae Im. And I just, man, he's so good. And I'm really excited. I hope he goes, remember Siwoo at the 17 President's Cup when he went full Patrick Reed.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
When the international team was down 8 on like Sunday. I hope Sungjae goes full Patrick Reed from the beginning and just starts lighting people up. I'm excited. He's a great player. It's a big stage for him. It's not a big American stage just because of the time differential, but right, it's a cool stage for him to kind of make a name for himself in a way that maybe people haven't realized so far.
Yeah, that's what I'm interested to see. You know, he's going to be able to get in front of these eyeballs like your dad, who, you know, who have never heard of this guy before, but when there's only a couple matches on the course, a lot of these guys get some camera shine. And I'm interested to see how Sungjae reacts in these types of situations, because so early in his career, not much has fazed him. You know, I mean, we have seen him play a ton of golf, and it's almost a comedy at this point on how much golf he's actually played, and he's finishing well in golf tournaments. He goes over to Korea, he wins. Like he has not seemed to find anything that he struggled with, and I'm hoping that a match play or a President's Cup format is also something that he can thrive in. I'm super stoked for him.
Yeah, I am as well. And you know, I you bring up the pairings here. I'm really, I don't know. I'm interested to see what the pairings look like with some of this stuff, because you know, I think you could go, I mean, we're going to talk about Adam Hadwin in a second. You go like Hadwin, Jason Day, you might never reach the green based on how, like, that's not really their strength from tee to green, right? And yeah. But then you've got guys like, you know, Adam Scott and Sungjae, who that is their strength. I don't know. It's going to be interesting, and it's always hard. I think being the captain of the international team it's really difficult because you got, I don't know, different languages and cultures, and it's really hard to like galvanize everybody in the same room at the same time when these guys are not, they don't have the brotherhood of like a I mean, we joke about the American team, but there's at least like history there. And there's a history with, obviously with the Euros. I think it's just, it's difficult with the international team. I'm interested to see how it goes this year.
You know, that's actually a really good point that I don't think even gets mentioned enough, or I personally don't think about enough is, you know, and I don't know what Hideki would normally do in a locker room, but I mean, he talks to the media through a translator. Yeah. So is there going to be a translator in these team meetings? And hey, what club are you hitting? And I'm sure he can handle all of that. But you're right, there is a little bit of a camaraderie that, you know, they're gonna have to get there a little bit early and try to figure that out in a way that, yeah, the Euros and the Ryder Cup, it's much more natural, and for Team USA, it's much more natural. So that is interesting, and the pairings then I think become a big part of this, and I think that's kind of maybe one of the reasons, and I don't want to talk about the guys that got snubbed because they might not have been snubbed, but someone like a Corey Connors or a Ben Ahn, I think they are difficult to pair with in this format because of who you already have on the team. When you have someone like Corey Connors and Ben Ahn who are great tee to green and they can't putt, tough when you've got also Hideki on the team and you've got Adam Scott who has had a kind of a bipolar putter at times. And like, if you get too many of the same type of skill set on a team, this can turn really ugly really quickly, right?
Yeah, totally. And I was thinking about this. I want to get your take on this. If you threw, so we've got 20 guys so far. So you got 8 Americans. The other 4 will come out on Thursday night. You got 12 international team members. If you threw them all into just a big pool and asked Ernie and Tiger Woods to just draft whoever they want, like winner take all, where do you think Sungjae would go?
Well, I tell you what, he might be one of the first international guys off the board, certainly. But I mean, I'd probably put him. I mean, I love him, so I might be biased here, but like 5th or 6th off the board.
I know, right? but it sounds crazy. But no, to your point, like, yeah, it is, and I think this is what has made the European team so good in the Ryder Cup over the years. They've paired like. Their pairings always seem to work out. And some of that stuff is just guys getting hot. Some of it is the course, whatever. But, you know, even like the Stenson Justin Rose thing where they just ham and egg. And it's like, all of a sudden it's 4-3 and that's a wrap. Like, how do you replicate that? I realize those are like 2 of the 18 best guys in the world. So it's a little different, but I think to replicate that and to figure that out when, you know, 6 guys, this is their first time, that could be a really good thing. It could be a really bad thing. It's just such a difficult thing. And you're going to have to play. If you're the international team, you got to play perfect golf to even have a shot.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up. to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
Yeah, and some of these young guys, there's kind of a double-edged sword here where, you know, they're so young, they don't know how big the stage is. Sometimes that's good for them, and sometimes it's really bad for them. So I am interested to see with that many first-timers how they can really compete. And one of those first-timers that I think this was Ernie's best pick was Joaquin Niemann.
Yeah.
I love this. And I think Mark might have brought it up earlier in the week. I know we chatted on him for just a few minutes, but this is, to me, is the perfect type of guy that I think opens up the variance in a competition like this that the international team has really struggled in. And he can go out and be 5-0 on the week. He might go out and be 0-5. You know what I mean? I think he opens up the range of outcomes in such a really good way. And it's, you know, difficult to argue with his recent form. I mean, I think we're on the same page there. Joaquin Niemann is a great pick.
Yeah, I agree. He turns 21 on Thursday. I believe it's his birthday, actually. And he's just, we just forget about him when we talk about the Hovland and the Matthew Wolf and, you know, all these guys. And it's like, wait a second, like, Joaquin Niemann has a win and he's got a lot of, like, good experience. And he's really, really talented. I mean, I can't remember. I think his tee to green stuff is, I think he's like a top 25 number the last couple of years.
Do you remember when he came out? So right, he's a year earlier than those other guys, and he comes out and he played like 6 or 7 starts. And I remember the stats that were flying around were like, if he had enough stats to qualify, here is all the stat categories he'd be leading on the PGA Tour. And it was like every stat category, yeah. It was like strokes gained, everything. And we were just anointing this kid as like the next greatest thing. And then golf happened, and golf is hard. And he's like 19 years old or whatever he was at the time. And he's like trying to figure it all out. And it looks like he's now, okay, he's got a season in, he gets that win. Like he seems to be a much different player this time around. And I don't know if many people realize that transformation kind of happened.
Yeah, for sure. So tee to green last year, he was 23rd, 141st in putting. This is like your dream profile right now. The year before that, yeah. he didn't have enough to qualify, but he was 1.2 strokes gained per round tee to green. So that was
right, and that would have put him, you know, near the top of the board.
Yeah, that's an even better number than when he was 23rd this past season. So yeah, I mean, he's the kind of guy, and I know Justin Ray has done some of this stuff on Xander to where you're like, whoa, wait a second. Like, he's like a top 12 guy from tee to green. Like, those are the guys that not just win, but they win a lot. And I think, yeah. I think Neiman's one of those guys. Like, who knows? Like, it might go differently, but his trajectory so far is, it's really impressive. And I think Els wanted to pick him. I was reading some of the stuff that he said after Greenbrier, and it was like, oh yeah, he's definitely getting picked. Like just the way he was talking about him of like, oh, he was on the fringe and now he's like right in the middle of it. And it's like, well, there's a pick, you know? And I think it's smart. I think it's good. And I think that he's another guy that I think it'll be really interesting to see how he handles that stage because, you know, guys that are, it's their first time, especially somebody that young, they just care more. Like, and that's not a knock against the older guys, but it's just different. You want to go out, you want to go 5-0 against the Americans. You want to prove that you belong. And that might go poorly, but I think you're right. Like, that's the kind of risk you have to take when you have inferior talent to the American side.
Yeah, I completely agree. Super, super stoked about that. And then it leaves us with the guy that to me, and personally, this was the surprise pick for me. I was rooting and hoping for Corey Connors. We got a different Canadian. We got Adam Hadwin, who shows up here. He's going to make his second President's Cup appearance, and I was a little stumped. So Kyle, now you get to be, you know, Captain Ernie Els. Why Adam Hadwin?
Well, we talked about this a little bit before the pod. I guess it's the putting thing. You know, his short game's better than Corey Connors. I don't know if it came down to, I mean, it probably comes down to what those two and Ben On for that final spot. I mean, I'm going either Ben On or Connors, but I get why in match play, like, you know, especially when you're like paired, when you do the, when you're paired up with somebody and they're, you know, lights out tee to green and you got somebody making putts and it's like, all of a sudden you're, you know, like you can do something with that. Kind of the pairing thing that we talked about earlier. And he's had a pretty good fall. I didn't realize this. He was second at Safeway, T4 at Shriners, wasn't great in Asia. And I don't know, Connors, I think, has been more consistent. I would have gone Connors. I would have gone Ben On. But I do get it from a kind of a statistical profile perspective why you would go Hadwin. And he's the top-ranked Canadian. So maybe Ernie just looked at the OWGR and was like, let's just whatever. Like, just pull me some numbers.
I hope not. Okay, that's actually a really good question. What do you think Ernie takes into account when he's making these picks?
Yeah, that is a good question. I think – I don't know. I legit think
we did not prepare for this question, by the way. This is like legit, like I off the cuff. What does he look at?
I think Tiger definitely is on, like, has some Google Sheets, like some protected Google Sheets that he's like just grinding through. No. And I think Ernie's like after a bottle of his wine, he's got a wine label, doesn't he?
I think that sounds right.
Yeah. A bottle of his wine, he's like, oh yeah, you know, I need a Canadian.
Those are usually pretty good golfers. Let's get one of them.
I need another South Korean. Let's just fill this up with every country. I would wager a guess that Tiger puts a lot more grind into his picks than Ernie put into his.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I just imagine, because, you know, you see this in other sports too, where sometimes the players go into the booth, for example, and they're like not great commentators, and they, you know, it's like, oh, do they really understand what's going on or whatever? And that's kind of how I feel sometimes about this. But I know they've got a bunch of people in their ears. But yeah, Ernie just feels like, hey, he woke up this morning, he picked a couple of guys. But I think back to Adam Hadwin, I don't think it's a terrible pick. I was surprised by it. And I think that he owns a skill set that can be very powerful in a match play setting. And we've seen time and time again, if you get a hot putter, or sometimes just the best putter, can win in match play very, very often. And when you're the first guy in the hole and you put a lot of pressure on your opponent, that becomes very valuable in this type of format. So I understand it from that side of it, especially because you've got other guys on this team that are probably going to need to be paired with him. So in the past, in 2017, Hadwin was paired with both Adam Scott and Hideki Matsuyama, which kind of makes perfect sense, right? That you would pair Adam Hadwin with those two guys.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I actually had forgotten that he was on that. Maybe I just tried to forget that entire 17 team, but yeah. I had forgotten that that he was on that team. But yeah, no, the Matsuyama thing, that does make sense. I'm looking through this.
Yeah, he was 0-2-1 in 2017. Him and Adam Scott lost to Kuchar and Dustin Johnson. Him and Matsuyama lost to Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth, which a lot of people do. And then Adam Hadwin lost his singles match to Phil Mickelson.
I think that's tough. That might have been Phil's last singles win ever in a team event. But I think you could go like Hadwin Usti or Hadwin Leishman. I think both of those would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, and he's going to hit a lot of fairways. I mean, he has like two skill sets that, especially like in, you know, something like an alternate shot or what, he's going to be very valuable, and I feel like he's more valuable in this format than a lot of others.
It's just such a, like, I don't know what the odds are on which team wins, but I just think about, like, can you imagine, I don't know if Koepka's going to play, but you roll like Koepka and Cantlay out and like on the other side of the tee box, it's like CT Pan and Adam Hadwin, and it's like, what? How's this gonna go? Yeah, like,
I know just, what side's hit. I know what side's hitting their second shot first. I know that.
It's just, it's such an overwhelming thing that I don't know. We need something to. I saw somebody propose that the loser of the Ryder Cup should be the team that plays the President's Cup. We need something to, like, ooh. It's like relegation. Like, if you lose the President's Cup, you don't get to play the Ryder Cup.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that would be sweet. Pick. It would never work because of the parties that are involved and, right. You know, who's running it. But there needs to be something more at stake than just, like, you know, the whatever's at stake, which is basically nothing.
And especially because it's been, it'd be one thing if this has been competitive over the years, but when you combine not much at stake and not much competition, that's not always a great recipe.
Yeah, totally. And that's the thing, right? Like and that's a great point because Ryder Cup, it's like, yeah, it's an exhibition, but man, it feels like it means a lot more than the President's Cup because it's been competitive. And so, I mean, I was looking through the last. So the U.S. is 8-0-1 since losing in 98 at Royal Melbourne. And the majority of those, it's like 19.5, 14.5, 19.5, 14.5, 19, 15. Last time was 19-11. And you're like, what? I mean, like, it does the great, and this is what I always go back to, the great thing about team events is that it always feels close until the end. Well, last time it didn't. But most of these always feel close until the end because there's so many singles matches that you're like, I could talk myself into this.
You know? You could conceivably make up, I don't know, like 10 or 11 points, or at least convince yourself of that for a while. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so that part of it, I think, is just, that's my favorite part of these team events. But, I mean, it would be, I think, a stunner if the U.S. didn't win pretty handily.
Yeah. And that's probably a good place for us because the U.S. team, pretty significant favorites at the moment. They're going to be announcing their 4 additional picks from Tiger Woods coming down on Thursday evening. And I'm sure we will be covering it when that happens. So, Kyle, thank you very much.
What's your final choice for or your final prediction for U.S.?
I'm going to go with Gary Woodland, Patrick Reed. I believe then we're going to go with Tiger himself, of course. And then it leaves us down to Finau and Fowler. I think it should be Finau. I think Tiger will pick Fowler.
I think everything the same, but I think he'll pick Finau.
I hope he does. Yeah. I think that's the right move. And I also think I really hope Brooks plays, but I don't know if there's much reason for him to, if that knee is at all anything. So they, both of those guys might end up getting on the team anyway.
Yeah, that would be we need more drama with the picks. We do. I hope he plays.
Cool. Well, thank you, brother. Always a good time.
Okay, Rick. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. See you, Kyle.
Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.